Good afternoon. Check, check. MasterCard Visa. Is this on? Check. There you go. Good. Well, let me just tell you, I am getting older, and so there's some things that I am careful about, and I had to go, you know, to be refreshed. You know, I made sure I took off the microphone. But then the problem with doing that is that I have to find my belt again, and I seldom have to do that twice on the same day. So let's talk this afternoon about hope. Let me introduce you to my wife, Joyce. She's right back there. Raise your hand, babe. Okay. We've been married 44 years. Two of them, first two were kind of rough. You know, 42 years have been wonderful. She's been through, let's see, there was a period of time when she had 6 surgeries in 11 months because of her cancer. And still has, you know, it just kind of continues. We call it chemo brain. Which also is called collective memory. Okay, we know, you know, if one of us can't remember something, we discuss it together until we can see if we can figure it out as a group. But anyway, Billy, thank you. Sorry for, you know, you kind of got serious there for a minute, and I was not prepared for that. But let me tell you, love you. Love you too, Roy. Love the years that we are spending together at Freed Hardeman. Dr. E. Claude Gardner hired me, as a matter of fact, with another group of intimidating people in 1981 when I was finishing at UT Knoxville and finished up and then came here 2 or 3 weeks later. And about the same time, began ministering with the Campbell Street Church. Bonnie Petty was our fine church secretary then. It's good to see her today and the group from Campbell Street. It's a lot of precious memories, good memories. But let's not get too serious here because that's not like me. Okay, so let's see then about the next song. Who's got a song that we can sing? Favorite song? Don't let it be slow. If it is slow, I'm going to sing it fast. Okay, all right, so give me a song, somebody. Okay, good. Let's see if we can find the number to that. Does anybody know the number to that? Are you singing that one, Stephen? Well, then we're about to. Thank you for... When 756. We probably could sing it from memory. Sing the wondrous love of Jesus, sing his mercy and his grace. In the mansions bright and blessed, he'll prepare for us a place. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. Onward to the prize before us, soon his beauty will behold. Soon the pearly gates will open, we shall tread the streets of gold. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. Good. Let me try one more time. Greatest thing in the world to be a Christian. That's better. So as we get older, it's harder to do some things than when we were younger. A little old lady feels like her body's gotten totally out of shape. So she got her doctor's permission to join a fitness club and start exercising. She decided to take an aerobics class for seniors. She bent, twisted, gyrated, jumped up and down, and perspired for about an hour. But by the time she got her tights on, the class was over. An elderly couple had dinner at another couple's house. And after eating, the wives left the table and went into the kitchen. The two men were talking, and one said, "Last night we went out to a new restaurant, and it was really great. I'd recommend it very highly." The other man said, "Well, what was the name of the restaurant?" The first man thought and thought, and finally said, What is the name of that flower you give to someone you love? You know, the one that's red and has thorns. He said, you mean a rose? He said, yeah, that's it, replied the man. He then turned toward the kitchen and yelled, Rose, what was the name of that restaurant we went to last night? So that's the way it is. Brother Thornton was a great man. Brother Gene Thornton and Delphia Thornton, a great couple. Many of you knew them. He was past chairman of the advisory, maybe the first chairman of the advisory board here at Fried Hardeman, and a wonderful man. He was so intimidating whenever, you know, Joyce and I were dating. That trip to Mississippi was just hard to do for a Middle Tennessee boy because Brother Thornton was there and he was so well known. And then, you know, I was dating Brother Thornton's daughter and all that kind of stuff. He was kind of like, you know, the Pope of Mississippi. In a good way. Okay, everybody knew him, and he had been the part of so many congregations, even in Amory, Mississippi, where you're from, and other places. He was just a great man. Toward the end of his life, however, he got Alzheimer's, and for, I don't know, Jim and Janita and Joyce, you can help me get this number straight, but somewhere, I think it started setting in maybe 10 years or so before he died at age 90, and then the last 7 years, it was really bad. So one time he was taking his second wife. Notice that I did not call that Joyce's mother, but he was taking his second wife to the hospital there, and he dropped her off. And then he said, "I'll come back and get you," but then he forgot what he had done. Okay, and so then he started driving around to try to figure out where did I leave that woman. Okay, and then he drove, and then he finally went to the church building where he had preached for many years, and Jim was there, and Jim it works there as an elder and a preacher now. I'm very proud of him and Janita. But anyway, he was there, and so kind of drove Daddy around until it kind of occurred on him that maybe he left her at the hospital. Plus, during the time, she had called and said, "Where's Gene?" You know, but he'd done some other things, like he tried to take dry cleaning to the bank one time. And you know, the thing about that is that everybody in Boonville knew him so well that the guy there just took his dry cleaning for him, and even though it was a bank, and took it to the cleaners. You know, because everybody knew him and loved him. He was quite a man. So I have a great legacy. I have a legacy of faith and hope. My parents were married for 59 years and about 10 months, and then Joyce's mom and dad were married for 57 years and a few months. So between her parents and my parents, there's over 116 years of marriage. So we have quite a legacy, and I'm proud of that. So today I want to talk about hope, because that's the third thing that I think that keeps us going with joy and enthusiasm. You know, remember the mentoring and continuing ministry? That's very important. It's also very important that you keep on staying connected to the purpose as to why you're here. Because it is very difficult to talk to some of you, even before and afterwards, because I know that you have lost loved ones. And I know that in many cases, that was viewed to be as a premature sort of thing. Bob, I see you. You know, Bob Brown was here earlier. You still back there, brother? Of course, I love Joan so very much, and you, and that was a close, close relationship. Sometimes we just don't understand about why, as I mentioned before, some are taken and others are left, but still, we have to maintain our ministry with joy and enthusiasm. We still need to do that because, as Brother Thornton used to say, I'm on top of the world. And he would say that many times when he wasn't on top of the world. He would say that in times, you know, when Joyce's mother, who struggled with center cell lymphoma for 15 years, and many, many times, you know, she would have a treatment and could not even make it in Jackson and couldn't even make it to our house, maybe 10 minutes away, before she started vomiting from that particular thing. So it was a long struggle for her, but she was a woman of great power and strength and dignity, and I think she passed it along to her daughters. So as we think about this, then, it's about hope. So how do you do it? Well, hope anchors my soul. Hebrews chapter 6, verses 19 and 20. In the same way, God, desiring even more to show to the heirs of the promise the unchangeableness of his purpose. Interposed with an oath. Now, if you're God, who do you swear to? You have to swear by yourself, because there's nobody else to swear to that's greater than you, even if you're saying an oath in court. I swear by myself. I mean, that's all that God can do, because nobody can guarantee the truthfulness and faithfulness of God, because he does that for himself. I sometimes kid my students about their term papers due at the end of the semester, and I'll say to them, now you guys have to footnote or endnote. If you get something from another source, you make sure and document that. The only person who's not allowed to footnote is Jesus. Okay, now Jesus did not have to footnote the Sermon on the Mount, because what's he going to do? According to myself, all right, you know, he would say, the ancients of old have said, but etc. So God swears by himself. What does he swear by himself? Well, what he says is that there are two unchangeable things in which it's impossible for God to lie, who have taken refuge, who would be strong encouragement to take hold of the hope set before us. Now, that's what you and I rest on. That's why we don't need to try to carry a U-Haul behind the hearse. There was a guy who hoarded his money from his wife, put it in a tow sack. The way that he had it figured is that he was going to hang it on a nail in the attic. And he would go up there and stuff money in that bag, thinking that when he died, that he would go right by there on the way to heaven. Well, the day came that he died. He and his wife was still alive. She went to the funeral. Then she came back after the funeral was over, and she said, I wonder about that sack. So she went up in the attic, and it was still there. And she said, huh, I guess he should have hung it in the basement. Okay, so, you know, you ain't gonna be able to take it with you. So if that's the case, then what is our hope resting on? And that would be two things. Number one, who God is and what God says. That is our anchor of the soul. A hope both sure and steadfast, and one which enters into the veil. You know, the one that was ripped from top to bottom when Jesus was crucified, where Jesus has entered as a forerunner for us, having become a high priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. So there are two things that tell you that your hope is better than anything else going. I have learned at my age, and you have learned at your age, that a warranty or a guarantee is no better than the person or company who stands behind it. Let me say that again. A warranty or a guarantee is no better than the person or the company who stands behind it. One time I had a Walmart watch. It cost $7.96. And it was a fancy one, Jim, because it had the little buttons on it, and I could calculate and stuff. I was the thing. And I love my little watch, except it died. Okay, and it wasn't the battery. And I took it to Walmart, and they said, well, didn't you read the little papers? I said, no. Okay, so it cost $7.96. I read the little paper, and it says, if this watch fails within a year, send it in with a prepaid check for $10, and we will repair or replace it at our discretion. And I'm thinking, I'll give you some discretion. Okay, it costs $7.96 to start with, and you're going to charge me $10 just to mail it to you? I'm kind of thinking the warranties and the guarantees are no better than the person who makes it, or the company that stands behind it. So number one, it's God's nature. Who else is going to be better than the God who cannot lie, saying to you, you are going to go to heaven someday? You keep that in front of you. That doesn't mean, of course, that we are ready to leave today, but it does mean you keep that in front of you, because it is God's nature and what God says that guarantees that this is true. This is right. This is good. I know that some of you know some companies that you really trust. Some of you are really Ford people, or General Motors, or Honda, or Toyota, or whatever else. And you think they really stand behind, you know, your car. Well, that's fine. That's good. I see Mike Rogers back there. Mike used to drive a truck, did you not, brother? Okay, Cummins Diesel's pretty good, is it not? Okay, so those truck engines go a few million miles, and they often stand behind what they are doing. So that's a pretty good company to a lot of truck drivers that I know. Let me tell you, however, it ain't gonna beat God. None of these companies will ever beat God, because number one, he promised you this. And number two, his nature will not allow him to break his word. His nature will not allow him to do that. Therefore, my hope rests in this. Number two, our hope is only in Christ. Christ is the riches of God's glory. God's glory in us. In Colossians 1, 25 through 27. Of this church I was made a minister according to the stewardship from God bestowed on me for your benefit, so that I might fully carry out the preaching of the word of God. That is, the mystery. By the way, the mystery doesn't remain a mystery, but it is a mystery until God reveals it. The mystery which has been hidden from the past ages and generations, but now has been made known to his saints, to whom God willed to make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. There it is. Saw something on the internet this week that said, this guy said that he wanted Christ to be in him so much that if a mosquito sucked blood from him, that mosquito would go off singing, "There's power in the blood." You know, I mean, you really desire Christ to be in you. And every day, it's a continual journey. And it's not like that you are through with this at age 65. The sanctification process begins when you are baptized. And it keeps on going and keeps on going and keeps on going as long as you have the ability to understand the spiritual concepts. It just keeps on doing that. I asked Brother C.W. Bradley one time. I guess he was here because of Billy Smith. They were really good friends. Brother C.W. preached in Memphis, and he also was one of the two men that conducted Elvis's funeral. Brother C.W.'s office was right across from mine, because Brother J. Walker Whittle, my office is the same one that you had, and that whenever you left in 83 or 84, I got that office, and I was so glad to see you leave. No, that's not true. That's not true. I was not, and I still shouldn't have said that. But what I'm saying is, let me say that I love your office, and I love the windows in your office, and I always know when it's raining or snowing, because the guys who don't have a window in their office come over there, and I just say, "Seniority, what can I say?" Okay, I got that office, and I love it. But the thing that we see here, Christ in you, the hope of glory. He's in you, and you keep on working at this, because you'd never finish this until it's time, as I think it was Brother Alexander Campbell who said, you know, he loosened, you know, the sword of the Spirit, and he never sheathed it until he died. Tom Childers, you can correct me, because I'm sure that's probably wrong. Do you know who that was? Who said that? You've been to every cemetery in the world. I know that you should know who said that. Well, anyway, all right, I'll try to get that reference later. But anyway, I love that. It was a favorite expression of Dr. Thomas B. Warren. So Christ is in you, and you keep on working, and you keep on doing this. Maybe you don't memorize as well as you used to. Maybe it's a little more difficult at times. I have ADOS. You know what ADOS is? Attention deficit. Oh, shiny. Okay, so I can get distracted, and it seems as though the older that I get, it is easier to get distracted, but boy, getting into the Word of God is so cool. It is so neat. And so it involves, you know, his death, and it involves his resurrection. There's more than one traditional site to the resurrection, but the last time that Joyce and I were in Israel, we went to Gordon's Calvary, and then we went to the open tomb that was closest to that. It doesn't exactly look like this, but it was certainly easy to think about it as we were having a devotional in the garden and thinking about the empty tomb. Because do you still know that the empty tomb is still intriguing and maddening to skeptics all over the world? Because they still cannot explain why the tomb was empty. And nobody's been able to find it. Number three. Our hope is the basis of our salvation. Your hope, of course, you've heard this many times before, is desire plus expectation. You not only desire it, like saying, "I hope that somebody, you know, leaves me a lot of money," or whatever else, but this is desire plus expectation. In Romans 8, "For in hope we have been saved. But hope that is not seen, that is seen, is not hope. For who hopes for what he already sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, with perseverance, we wait eagerly for it." There is the finishing the course with joy and optimism. God longs after us, his creation. We see the fact that he wants to be with us. He wanted to be with Adam and Eve in the garden. And to me, the mental images of the coolness of the garden in the evening and being with God were pretty significant. There have been times in our lives that we just wanted to scream at the devil. One time when our oldest daughter was on drugs and alcohol, we had one of the elders' wives at Campbell Street to say, "Well, have you just tried going in the backyard and just screaming at the devil?" So I did that. I don't know if it helped any, but I did meet some neighbors. Okay, you know, it's kind of like, yeah, what in the world is he doing? There are times that you want to do that. And you just want to say, why in the world? But then on the other hand, there are the times when you have been in such poignant settings, so full of majesty and glory and splendor that you just, yeah, Billy, you couldn't do anything but just stand there and cry. You just couldn't, because it's just full of the majesty and glory of God. I don't get an atheist. This guy that we're supposed to have a discussion with in September is a Jewish atheist who is big in the atheistic community, but he also has had two half-brothers to die in the Holocaust. I can see that he has thought a lot about Hitler. He's thought a lot about World War II. He's thought a lot about all the images of bad things that are here. Yeah, there's a lot of bad stuff in this world. You probably locked your car before you came into the building, even in Henderson. You probably locked your house before you left. We live in a different world. But this world is still full of majesty and beauty. And that's the hope that someday, when he comes back, he's going to take us to a place that's even beyond this. Therefore, our hope means that I got to be ready. I can't be ready if I just give up when I retire. I can't be ready if I just choose to do nothing to the spiritual side of me. Because I asked Brother C.W. Bradley, I asked him, "Brother Bradley, I've been asked to go to a youth rally, and instead of speaking on sex, drugs, and rock and roll, which is what they usually want to speak about, okay, and so we'd go and talk about that stuff, I was asked to speak at this youth rally as to how to be more spiritual." Well, what do teenagers care about wanting to be spiritual? You're supposed to be old, you know, to want to be spiritual because, you know, you're closer to death. But yes, I got that assignment with young people, and I was puzzled by it. I don't know what to do. So I asked Brother Bradley, and he directed me to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 16 through 18. And that would be the passage where Paul says that these things that you're experiencing now are momentary. They are momentary. And they work for you a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory in the heavens. Because what we see now is not ultimately the most real. The most real is actually where we're going as God's people when we die. But even if you should suffer for the sake of righteousness, you are blessed. And do not fear their intimidation. He's saying this to people who are being intimidated by the Roman government, perhaps Nero. Do not fear their intimidation. Do not be troubled. And might I also say, God's going to still be God after November. Whoever is elected president, I'm not saying that you should choose unwisely. I'm thinking that you should choose wisely. But God has been able to accomplish a lot of powerful things through some of the most wicked people the world has ever seen. So let's remember, as our sweet little Mallory Bowman said while she was FaceTiming or Skyping from Brussels after the explosion that killed 35 people, she said, and I was so proud of her, she said, "We've talked about this, and God's got this." Man, I love that. I wish I could feel that way after a bombing, when all your plans have changed, and you had to be so secretive that you can't leave the Brussels airport anymore. You had to go somewhere else to come back. I wish I could feel that in a cancer ward. You know, when there's row after row after row after row, maybe 30 people getting chemo at the same time. Or then you get in the cattle line to go to radiation. And then there's all those people that are waiting to be radiated, you know, hoping that that's going to do something with their tumors. I wish that it was easy to tell you that, yes, you can do that, but yes, indeed, you can. But that might be one reason why it often happens to those who are the more mature. Not all the time, but often. Because you and I are expected to be able to carry burdens that we could not carry when we were 15 years old. And so, these things sometimes happen to us. What should I do? I should sanctify Jesus in my heart and be ready to give a defense to everyone that asks a reason for the hope that lies within me, because the gospel cries out for defense. And then someday, our hope will return. Titus 2, verses 11 through 14, for the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men, instructing us to deny ungodliness and worldly lust. And so our hope should cause us to look inwardly among ourselves, outwardly to help others, and upwardly to anticipate the coming of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. I don't know what it's going to look like, but I kind of like this clip art, because when Jesus comes back, there's going to be old people and young people and foreign people and domestic people. There's going to be little people and bigger people and people of different races when he returns. And we're all going to see him, and every eye shall behold him. So come in and rest. Come in and rest. The word rest is used as a verb and a noun by the Hebrews writer, but often as a noun. It is not like I want to rest, verb, but I'm going to the rest. Oh, by the way, that does imply that you've done something to rest from. There are a couple guys that I were thinking of who were so lazy. One of them said to the other one, "Will you go outside and see if it's raining?" And he said, "No, just call in the dog and see if he's wet." Okay, so, you know, there are some lazy people in the world. But nonetheless, you really only enjoy the rest if you have been working and laboring for the Lord Jesus. Who wants to sing this little song together? Often I'm hindered on my way, burden so heavy I almost fall. Then I hear Jesus sweetly say, heaven will surely be worth it all. Heaven will surely be worth it all. Worth all the sorrows that here befall. After this life with all its strife, heaven will surely be worth it all. Well, there's our wedding day, Billy, and you got it just right. June the 11th, 1971. They looked a good deal alike, did they not? Brother Thornton, that might not have been true necessarily, the story that you told, I'll tell you what was true. Whenever he said to me, "So, you want my daughter's hand in marriage?" What I was really thinking was, I really want the whole package. You know, I mean, the hand is fine, but, you know, the whole deal would be great. All right, and so my sister died at age 54 after 33 days of symptoms from cancer. 33 days of symptoms, she died from cancer at age 54. My mother and my daddy, mother died until 82, dad died at 87. Joyce's mom and dad, mother died at 79, dad died at 90. There's a lot of reasons to want to stay and finish the course. There's a lot of reasons. A lot of reasons to do this with joy and with optimism, because your loved ones who've gone on before you do not want you moping through this life. They do not want you so absorbed in sorrow that you cannot function. But do these three things, please. Minister. And know the purpose that's in your life, and hold on to the hope that is set before you. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for the opportunity of being in this life. The many rich blessings and wonderful people. So many of our friends even are here right now. Thank you for blessing us in that way. Thank you for giving us the amount of time that we have in this life. Sometimes the quantity of our time is not what we would wish, or the quantity of those that we have loved. But thank you for the good qualities that we knew in them and know in them and try to emulate in our own lives. We pray that today that we will leave refreshed, ready to finish whatever time you give us until the end, and that we might do this with the joy and optimism that was characteristic of Jesus Christ, even when he was on the cross. Through Jesus we pray. Amen.